A lot of people have lost loved ones during the pandemic, and grieving has been difficult, at first because in-person ceremonies were largely off the table, and later because so many elements of the disease got tied up in political debate. Our next guest set out to change that with a website that is helping people grieve COVID-related deaths in their lives by sharing written anecdotes. The website provides a space for those memories that's explicitly free from negative pandemic-related comments. Martha Greenwald is a writer based in Kentucky and founder of the Who We Lost Project. Martha, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where did you first get the inspiration to launch this?
So this project has really evolved a lot. We began sort of inspired by the particularly empathic response that Kentucky had at the beginning of the pandemic, but then word began to get out about it nationally. And I fielded numerous requests from people who wanted to write stories from outside the state. Personally, my own father was killed in a strange accident about a decade ago, and the pandemic helped me to see how much disenfranchised grief I was still carrying with me. There's a lot of parallels to that with COVID deaths, the inability to say goodbye, the uncertainty, family dysfunction, and it awakened a lot of things in me. And in combination with the fact of having taught writing for 20 years, and I wanted all that experience to be useful to others. And so I feel it's kind of a calling for me.
Can you give us a couple examples of things people have written that we might see on your site?
Sure. I'll give you a story, well, a little excerpt of a story first from Colorado. This story is about Kyle Spiller, and it was written by his mom. And the title is Dog Boy and Holiday Guy. One thing I should say that's important about the site is that everyone has to put a title on their story. I feel like it gives it a sense of narrative and it kind of gives it a dignity to it that I feel is rather essential. So this is from Dog Boy and Holiday Guy. Kyle was our holiday maker. He refused to let a holiday go by without a get together. The only one we missed was Christmas 2020 because I was just too nervous about the virus. But that Thanksgiving, we had a big meal in the living room of our half-finished house. Bare gray block walls, a late November Colorado breeze blowing through the many openings yet to be filled with windows and doors, a football game on the TV, a microwave to reheat the quickly cooling food. A memorable day, to say the least. We sat across the room from each other in green lawn chairs, Mike and I on one side, Kyle and Charlotte on the other, but we were together, and that's what mattered to Kyle. And I really love that story because there's so many details in it that I feel are just, you know, such a good evocation of social isolation and everything that everyone else was going through really exemplified there.
And so many of your examples, I compare them to obituaries. You know, I've read them. I've helped write them for family members who have passed. I feel like in these stories, even sometimes just one-line excerpts, I know more about a person than in reading a whole obituary. Can you talk about how you suggest people dig into those feelings and find those unique things?
Sure. So one thing that we have on the site is a writing toolbox, because a lot of people are writing hesitant, or it harkens back to like bad English class memories from years ago or something like that. So I just kind of do what I did when I was teaching, which is we provide examples. So I really believe if you show people what a detail is and, you know, what a memory is that should be important, that it easily helps them conjure that up for themselves. So the writing toolbox helps. And then also in our social media campaigns, I post sort of 1 to 2 sentence micro stories that are specific and help people evoke what's going on for them at that time.
Some of those are amazing. The one sentence was, I jotted a couple of those down. One was his favorite karaoke song was Rock Lobster. I feel like I know something about that person. I wish I could have hung out with him just knowing that one little snippet.
Yeah, exactly. Like that gives you a time and place, right? It helps you probably remember, you know how old they were without even saying it. And you can picture the whole scene of them and how much you would miss them singing that song. So yeah, that's exactly what we're aiming for, is to, you know, show that it's important to remember those things and not just the hospital and the ventilator.
I think you said you had another reading you could share with us, Martha.
Sure. This is also an excerpt. Some of the stories are, you know, long, mm-hmm. so we can't read them all now. But this is from Kentucky. It's for Mother's Day, which is coming up on Sunday. And I highly encourage people to come write a story for Mother's Day. It's by Shane Terry of Whitesburg, Kentucky. This is a small snippet of his story called Yellow Roses. Recently, I was digging through my archive of old video footage, and I found something that surprised me. It was video of my mother a year before she died, showing me the rose bush at the end of the driveway, the one my sister and I had bought to replace the bushes that had burned up. The new bush that we'd planted was pink or red, I can't remember exactly. But oddly enough, when the bush began to flower, the roses were yellow, the color of hope and light and happiness. My mom was amazed. That's what she's showing us in the video, her joy that they'd transformed themselves. It seemed to be a sign at the time that things would get better, a little miracle that happened to us after losing so much.
What do you think people get out of writing about this grief, especially this, I think you used the phrase disenfranchised grief?
Well, disenfranchised grief is unfortunately very common right now. And it's commonly what a person would experience when they incur a loss that can't be openly acknowledged or socially sanctioned. Maybe they can't mourn publicly, which was, of course, a big part of the first year, at least, of COVID. So when they have that, they didn't really, you know, get the opportunity due to social isolation to hold in-person funerals, you know, so the things that would have been said at a wake or a shiva, a memorial, were kept silent, and they were maybe rattled off or awkwardly on Zoom. But, you know, who we lost offers a space to tell that story, maybe about your best friend from 40 years ago, or the thing that you couldn't say. I'm finding people talk to me a lot lately when I'm out, as though they kind of know like what my deal is. And I feel that right now there's memories in the air that are sort of floating like pollen. There's so much sadness and loss and things that have been hidden or suppressed for all the 2 years of isolation. And now they're coming out, and the grief sort of reemerges with the person. So I think, you know, these stories have to be told.
Martha, thanks so much for sharing this with us today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's Martha Greenwald, a writer based in Kentucky, founder of the project Who We Lost. We talked with her today about how that online project is helping people grieve loved ones whose deaths were related to COVID-19 by writing. We'll get a link to Who We Lost at WPR.org/Central Time.